Good morning. I'm glad you're all out today, and hopefully you'll spend some time together studying God's Word. I'm thankful for the invite to be here, and I'm thankful for my brother to lead singing. He does a great job and picks some good songs as well. George Herbert once said, "None knows the weight of another's burdens." I think there's a problem sometimes we face is we only understand what we're going through. We never look at what someone else is going through, or we're not able to look and really realize that they may be going through things that we don't notice. Now think about some of the problems that people have out there, and you think about worry. You think about the pain that people go through. People get discouraged. They have financial hardships that they don't tell anybody about. The fears that they face, the sickness, career choices that maybe are a little difficult or rocky, the weight of responsibilities that all of us have probably endured at times or another, marriage struggles, parental difficulties, divorce, loneliness, failures, injustices, death of loved ones, the balance of relationships, abuse, addictions, depression, and through all this, the guilt of having all these burdens on top of you. Just think about all the things that our society faces. And you know that even we face it sometimes. It's not just something we look at the people outside of this room. It's us as well. We have dealt with some of these things, and we have had to face these hardships. You know, the questions come up, where is God in these times? When people go through hardships, they want to know, where is God? Where is the promise that I will get the help that I need? How can all the struggles that I'm going through, all the difficulties, how can this be the will of God? And, you know, we think about the will of God. A lot of times we hear people tell us, well, it's just the will of God. That's the will of God for that person or life. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But where is the will of God in the struggles and the hardships and the problems that we face? Why do we feel like sometimes we're like that person carrying the whole weight of the world on our shoulders? These are real heartfelt questions. People ask these questions. They're not asking questions because they don't maybe haven't heard about God in our country. They just don't see it. They don't know. They don't understand why they have to go through the difficulties they're facing and why them. People really want about three things, and that is help in their struggles. They want hope for something better, and they want some happiness in their lives. And they're searching for that. A lot of times they're searching the wrong way. Maybe sometimes we even search the wrong way. Well, let's talk about the will of God for a minute. You know, people talk about that certain things are the will of God. Somebody dies, it must be the will of God. If something happens bad, it must be the will of God. I do believe that God is all-powerful. And I know that God knows all that goes on. And I know that God has great abilities to help my life. And He has many times in my life. And I believe that prayer works. I'm one that is, does believe that when you pray, that God is listening and He will help. He will reach out. James 5:16. And I know that when we pray, that God's will be done. That also brings up something else. If I pray that God's will to be done, can God's will sometimes be abused? Now you think about this. Is this God's will? If somebody comes over and maybe a drunk driver's coming, and they drive over the line and they hit a family on the side of the road, and they kill not only maybe themselves, sometimes not even themselves, and they kill the family and the children. That some people say, well, you know, God took those lives, it's God's will. How about a child with cancer? You know, the hardest ones to answer sometimes is somebody who comes to you with their child cancer and said, why did it happen to a child? Why couldn't it happen to me? You know, you have some grandpa standing there, and he's thinking, I've lived my life. I'm old. Why can't I be the one that had the cancer? Why does a child have cancer? And I don't really always have the right answer to tell them what I want to tell them. I don't always know the answer. We think about some of the will of God here. People lose their homes. They lose their jobs. Is it hardworking families trying to make a living? Is that God's will? Is it God's will that people suffer abuse? Not just children, others as well. There are people that go through abuse all over the world. Is that what God willed for their life? I know what the Bible tells me. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 that the Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing any should perish, but all come to repentance. You hear what God says is he wants all people to be saved, but all people are not. Is that God's will? John 10:10, Jesus said, I came to give them life and give it abundantly. But not all people have life in it abundantly. The kingdom is peace and joy. Romans 14:17. And all of us know John 3:16, that God so loved not just me, but the whole world. And yet the world suffers and has hardships. When I think about God's will, I also understand that man violates the will of God. I do pray that God's will be done because I want it in my life and I want it in my country. I want it in my culture. I want it in your life. But man, many times, think about the drunk driver, violated the will of God. Did God want that man to get drunk that night and drive across the road and hit a family? Obviously not. You know, the Bible speaks on the choices we make in our life and it speaks on drunkenness. And man violated the will of God. And it didn't only cause his own harm, it caused the harm of others as well. Romans 3:23, when he talked about all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin is a problem in the world we live in. In 1 John 3:4, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness. For sin is lawlessness. He tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves. But you know well, good and well, that not everybody follows that rule, do they? Do nothing from selfishness, Philippians tells us. And yet we see a culture that is selfish, violating the commands of God. He tells us not to steal, not to lie, not to cheat, not to kill. Ephesians 5 talks a lot about these things. Verse 11. And yet you know those things happen in our culture with man violating what God desires. So when we deal with people that are going through struggles, here's what I want you not to tell people is that it's always God's will, because sometimes man has violated the very will of God. The Scriptures lay out the will of God very clearly. Romans 12:2 talks about the will of God when he says we're not to be conformed to this world but transformed by the renewing of our minds to know what the will of God is. So that, there it is, the will of God is listed in what we should do. God's will, again, is sometimes violated. 1 Peter 2:15, for such is the will of God that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of fools. It's doing right that's the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. But again, man is in violation. Now Romans 8:28 does promise those who love the Lord, and you have to understand what loving the Lord means. We'll talk about that a little later. That all things work together for good. That does not mean all things are good. Just that all things work together for good. He can take what is bad and turn it to good. And I do believe that. But God did not choose many things and the choices man has made out there. If we love Christ, we will obey His commandments. We will keep His commandments. John 14:15. And so that only applies, Romans 8:28 only applies to those who are keeping His commandments. Now, the question is, why do we have burdens then? Why did God allow us to have burdens? Why is life so difficult? And you can see just a few things here on the screen here, but some of the challenges are caused in different ways. Some is out of our control. We have violence all over the world. Man makes poor choices. Some of the challenges are done by others. And we deal with burdens that others have caused on us. Violence, like I said, can hurt a lot of people, destroy a lot of people. Maybe we didn't have any control. That the person made a poor choice. It happened when you think in the Bible, look at Joseph in his life. His brothers sold him as slavery. That was their choices. And then he ends up being misaccused or something he didn't even do and ends up in prison. It wasn't his choices that landed him there, but the choices of others. And so sometimes we face that. It could be government problems. You look around the world and you'll find all kinds of problems given to them by their government, maybe poor choices by the government, corruption in their government. I think about Pharaoh in Exodus 7:11, all the plagues that were rained down. You remember all those plagues that were rained down? Because Pharaoh was stubborn. All the other people had to suffer. Now, I'm not saying there were good people altogether, but Pharaoh was so stubborn that all those plagues rained down and all the people. Because of he was in charge of government, his choices. They didn't have that choice. Even when the others probably would have said, let them go, man. Well, I mean, we're dying out here. Not Pharaoh. And so we sometimes face the choices of government problems, and that's hard to deal with. Maybe it's family problems. Your family makes poor choices. I think about Simeon and Levi's revenge in Genesis 34 and 35. They take out their own revenge. There's a reason why they take it out. I understand that. But because of their choices, all the family has to move. Okay? And he said, we're going to be a stench to all the people around here. They're going to want anything to do with us. And so some of the choices are, like I said, maybe our family's choices. Maybe they're involved in things that they don't need to be, and it affects us. And that's a burden we bear. And it could be just people we come in contact every day with. They may give us more burdens. You know, we work jobs, we go places, and they make choices that are poor, and it costs us time, it costs us energy, and we don't have those choices. Some of the choices we have are our own choices, though, in life, isn't it? I put up here some drugs and alcohol choices, and I know that affects us from other people's, but sometimes people make their own poor choices, and they deal with the consequences of those choices as well. Drug addiction is very prevalent, right, in our culture. And we will suffer the consequences for the poor choices we make. And so, Galatians 6 and verse 7, when it talks about whatever we sow, we will also reap. And sometimes we're sowing poorly, and we're also going to reap poorly. It may be the choices of friends we make. You ever think about the friends we have can also affect our lives? We choose who our friends are. And 1 Corinthians 15:33 tells us that bad company corrupts good morals, right? The people you hang out with could affect you, and your poor choice of friends can also cause you problems and struggles. It could be the places we go, the things we try. Jonah ran from God, if you remember, and he ended up in water, okay, drowning. Poor choice. David, we know some of his choices, Bathsheba and some of the other challenges he made, and because of it, he had consequences, including the life of his own child. Poor choices affected his life, and I know it affects our lives as well. The jobs we chose them. Sometimes they're going to give us burdens. Financial decisions. How many people have dealt with financial decisions because they were poor financiers, or they didn't take care of the money the right way? Maybe they're dealing with the consequences of their choices there. And maybe it's just when you think about all the sins that are in our society. Cain and Abel killed Abel, obviously. Cain was marked from then on out. To protect him, I understand, but it still was something that identified him for his life. Again, go back to David and Bathsheba. The sin of that David had consequences. Some are just, I look up there, I don't, sometimes nature does what it does. It could be tornadoes, hurricanes, but it can be other things besides just those kind of things. All kinds of natural disasters happen. People live in places that it can happen in. But even anxiety itself, the worries we have in life, some are a part of an imperfect world. We live in a world that's not perfect. It was never meant to be permanent or perfect. Now, God, I know, established from the very beginning a great world. Sin caused the consequences of this world. But we deal with disasters. We deal with problems. We deal with struggles. We deal with anxieties that just come about from day-by-day things that happen, right? And that's a part of an imperfect world. Matthew 6 and verse 34, Jesus identifies it. I'm sorry, I'm losing my thing here. Give me a minute and I'll bring it back up, maybe. There we go. There. Okay, so with again, you think about the anxieties in Matthew 6 and verse 34. He says, you know, not to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. And then he goes on to say, each day has enough troubles of its own. And you'll find that's always been true, right? You got enough troubles today to try to handle tomorrow's. And all of us go through that. Jesus understood that. So he's saying there are going to be some things. This is part of living in an imperfect world. And some of the things, I have a question mark there because there are some things I don't have an answer. You go back to the kid with cancer. So you can go on and talk about how, you know, the mutation problems and, you know, whatever that you want to. The answer to that person is, I don't know. I don't always know every answer. It is okay to say, I don't know every answer to every situation. Some of the burdens I don't know why people face. God knows. But they face them just the same. So here's the question for us today. We think about, you know, Deuteronomy 29 tells us the secret things belong to God. What can Jesus do about it? That's what you want to hear today anyway, is what can Jesus do about our burdens? Number one, he can give you relief from the stress and the fears and the challenges of life. There is a relief. There's relief. You know, somebody's going through a pain or they're hurting. All they want is some relief. Just a moment's relief sometimes. I've dealt with people that were going through excruciating pain. They said, just a little bit of relief would just, maybe I can move around, get around. hard to talk to somebody that's dealing with it, but the stress we face, the fears we have, the challenges of life. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7, he says he's going to come to give relief to you who are afflicted. They were afflicted with problems. He said there was going to be relief that is offered by Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4 and verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Some of the things he does for us, first of all, he comforts us. That's how we get some of the relief. I know that when we go through it, sometimes we just need a little bit of comfort. And sometimes we're still facing it, and we're still dealing with the difficulties and the hardships. And it can be other people that comfort us. It can be something we read, a card in the mail. It can be a lot of different things that give us comfort. And I do believe in the comfort of God. If you're a Christian, I believe that God will help in ways we don't understand. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3 and through 5. You read with me here. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and God of all comfort. He comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. Now, he didn't say you don't have any troubles there, does he? He's got afflictions, but there's a God, there's Jesus, that's why we want Jesus, that will comfort us. And so thankful I am for that comfort that is offered to me. He listens to us. You know, one of the great blessings of being a Christian is he listens to the prayers we have. I told you earlier that I believe in prayer. We have one that will listen to us. We have help. We have a mediator according to the scriptures. Hebrews 7:25, he's able to save forever those who draw near to God through him. This is Jesus. For he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus is making intercession for us to God if we're trying to follow God. In Romans 8 and verse 34, Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, for there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. See how many times it says Jesus is the one that is listening and interceding on our behalf to our God. I'm thankful I have one that understands what I'm going through. He understands the hardships and the difficulties. I mean, he bore the cross so he can understand pain. He had the struggles and the mockings and the burdens that were weighed on. He didn't have financial blessings, right? He was poor. So he knows what people go through, and he intercedes on my behalf. He listens to my problems. He carries also our burdens for us. When I think about how he carries it, you know, I've carried some heavy loads. I've worked at hard places. I worked at UPS, and currently I'm still doing some of that work. And I'm going to tell you, when you lift heavy things, you know it can weigh on you after a while. It wears on you. Your body wears out, right? You have extra people to pick up something, it makes a big difference. I don't just have someone that can pick up something. I have the muscle man. I used to work with a guy that he was known. He was the person that lifted everything that no one else could lift. Okay, 140 pounds, throw it on his shoulder, walk over there and throw it in a truck. Okay, anytime it was 140 pounds, I didn't pick it up. Okay, we found the guy that's in charge. See, Jesus is better than that. Jesus lifts our burdens. He knows we'll still bear some of it. I mean, that's part of life. But he can carry more than you can think, right? Jesus is able to carry what we can't. And oftentimes when we're overwhelmed and troubled with the burdens of life, we don't go often enough to Jesus to say, I need you bearing my burdens. I need your help through the troubles that we face. 1 Peter chapter 5, 6, and 7 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, and he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, for he cares for you. A lot of times we want to cast it on him, but we still want to hold on to a lot of it too, right? Cast it on him. That means let him have some of it, right? And a lot of times we're not letting him have it. We're taking it back. Here, you can have it, but I'm going to hold a little bit of it. We need to cast more of it. What can Jesus do? He said, relief from your stress, your fears, and your challenges. Second, what can Jesus do? He's the remedy to soothe your pain, your suffering, and your heartache. And yes, people, heartache, heart problems, is emotional problems, is as bad as any other pain. People go through all kinds of difficulties. When I talked about divorce, parental problems, other things. A lot of times the pains that people are bearing may not be physical. They may not park in the handicapped spot and get out and you notice that they're handicapped. Okay? There may be things going on in their lives you know nothing about. I've known people that ended up in divorce that you thought had a happy marriage. They've been married for 20-something years. You think everything is going great for them, and all of a sudden they're like, they filed for a divorce. You're like, what happened? You know? It was something they weren't telling anybody. So when we deal with some of it, God also, we think about Jesus. Jesus is the one who brings the remedy to soothe our pain, our sufferings, and our heartaches. Matthew chapter 8, 16 and 17. Evening came, they brought to him those who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits of word and healed all who were ill in order that they were spoken through Isaiah and the prophet might be filled, saying, he himself took our infirmities and he carried away our diseases. Now, I understand that he did some miraculous works that maybe is not seen today, but I still believe that that's the same Lord we follow that carries our infirmities and takes our infirmities with him. He heals from within, and he can heal the heart, and he can heal the struggles we go through. Hebrews 13 and 5, he tells us he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He can give us peace in a world that doesn't have any peace. He can give us joy in a world that a lot of times is miserable. Philippians 4 and verses 6 and 7, you remember where he says, be anxious or not, don't worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing. Well, that's not easy to do, is it? That's not easy to do because we still sometimes worry. Be anxious for nothing. Prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds. He can give that in Christ Jesus. When you have Jesus, you have that healing. You have that remedy. And you know, a good remedy is important, right? When you get sick, where do you go? You go to a doctor, you go somewhere to find a remedy. If doctor can't figure out, you find someone else that might know a natural way of doing it. You find any way that you can get the help you need, the remedy, right? And Jesus is the remedy for the problems, so many of the problems we face. He brings forgiveness. He brings mercy. He brings love. And all these things are needed in our lives. We need to learn forgiveness for one another, but forgiveness also with God. Ephesians 1 and verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. 1 Peter 5:10, and after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. That's a great passage of scripture. I want him to perfect me, confirm me, strengthen me, and establish me when I'm dealing with the sufferings. And he says, you're going to suffer for a little while, but here is the remedy. Here is the help that you can receive. And he destroyed the troubles we go through and the power of sin. Really, when we talked about earlier the sins we made, isn't it Jesus who destroyed that? Hebrews 9 and verse 28, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him. 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, he himself bore our sin in his body on the cross. He even took out sin. We make poor decisions. We make choices that are terrible. It's sinful. But he can forgive. He can heal. He can give us the remedy. This brings me to number 3. What can Jesus do? He can give you rest from your burdens. You can see that's part of my lesson today was given to me. Oh, to have a little rest. You know, you have a hard day at work. Some of you have had long days, maybe get up early in the morning, worked all day. You have family problems, challenge problems. Some of you, the women, take care of the kids even more than some of us men. And by the end of the day, you're just tired. I told a single guy the other day that I work with, he was talking about all this stuff, about staying up all night. I said, man, time we get the kids in bed and everything, it's like, we're going to sleep. We got to have some rest, you know, because the next day is going to start. And there's all those, a whole other day to deal with, right? And more struggles and more challenges. Rest. We need rest. And we look forward to it sometimes at the end of the day, we're just getting so tired. We're thinking, I just need rest so I can make it through another day. Well, sometimes problems and burdens seem like they're never going to end. Jesus offers rest from those burdens. In James chapter 1, verse 17, he tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. All the great blessings that we have in life came from our Lord. You realize that. And that's one of the ways he gives us rest from our burdens is, you think about it, he gives us blessings. We need the blessings to deal with the burdens sometimes, but he's raining down. And most of us in this room probably have been blessed beyond many, 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 many in the world. When we talk about the song, Count Your Blessings, most of us would have too many to write down. Ephesians 1 verse 3 though tells us he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing as well. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Now, when I think heavenly places, I'm thinking every spiritual blessing, everything that God can rain down on a Christian, he's raining down to bless. If we're in Christ. I don't know all that this is supposed to. So I can talk about help from the angels and prayer and all these things. There's a lot of things I don't know that's maybe a heavenly blessing. But God promised that that's what's happening. In Christ Jesus, you get every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Second of all, when we think about the blessings we have, we also realize that following Jesus will give us the help to bear the burdens. We need a little help when we're going through them, right? We need some help. Following Jesus gives us that. Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you, most of us know this verse in this room probably, rest, right? That's what I want is some rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He didn't repeat that word rest twice for no reason. He knows what man needs. Not just rest at nighttime, but rest from the burdens, right? And there are times in our life, maybe we've had a lot of them, maybe all of a sudden we receive some help. Maybe it lightens up. Maybe something is fixed for a while. And you know what? The Lord has given us rest. I know there is a greater rest, though, to come. Not only does He promise rest here, He promises a future permanent rest. Hebrews chapter 4, 9 through 11, there remains therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered this rest has himself also rested from his work. Works as God did from His. Let us therefore be diligent to enter into that rest. Now, He's not talking a rest here on earth, is He? He said there remains a rest. You maybe have some help here. There remains a rest. There is going to be a permanent rest. And I'm not talking I'm going to permanently sleep. I'm talking about permanent rest. All these burdens and the challenges we face are going to go away one day. Maybe not while you live in this life. Because, you know, when you find out, talk to older people, burdens don't go away. They just recreate new burdens, right? Yeah, burdens that you didn't have before when you were young. Thoughts and problems that never happened when you were young. Maybe some of the most stressful times are actually when people deal with the old age. You'd think about loneliness, and it's older people oftentimes that are lonely. Burdens that we face, there remains a permanent rest. Hebrews 4 tells us. Revelation chapter 14 and in verse 13. Revelation 14 verse 13 says, right, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the spirits, they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them. Oh, that great rest to come. In chapter 21, 1 through 4, when he starts telling us about what we most times describe as heaven, he talks about there's no more tears, no more dying, no pain. All of us know that's what we want, that future wonderful rest. And Jesus can give you that. Jesus can promise not only rest here, but a permanent rest to come. In John 16 and verse 13, in the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. You may have troubles now, but Jesus came to overcome those troubles. And He did overcome those troubles. What can you learn from our burdens? Maybe that's the question we need to think about. I hope you can learn a few things. Here are just a few points. Now, I think we can learn some things from the troubles we go through. Number one, our burdens help us see what's truly important. I think sometimes when you're going through the hardest times of your life, you realize that the things you thought were important are not important. Somebody's worried about this, stressed about this, and all of a sudden somebody in their family, maybe it's a child, maybe it's their mate, gets really sick with something. I'm not saying that's God's will, but I'm saying you do learn at that point. All the other problems didn't really matter. How long your grass got didn't really matter, right? Stress about what somebody thought, maybe something wasn't fixed right. At that point, you got bigger struggles. And sometimes we learn what's truly important. You know, all the possessions we have, all the things we own, it doesn't really matter. 1 John chapter 2 and verses 15 through 17, we read, love not the world nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We don't need to love the things of the world. This world is passing away. Verse 17 goes on to describe. It's all going to go. So the riches and the pleasures and the things that we think are so important, the things that we're heaping up and the new thing we got to buy and the thing that's broken over here that we can't get to work right because you do like me and you tape it up, okay, or whatever. You use duct tape on everything. My older brother, when you pick on Matthew sometime, one time used duct tape on his bed cover. He got a hole in his bed cover and he just duct taped it, okay? So what, right? It still covered him up at the end. The reality is, it worked. Who cares, right? The things don't matter when it comes to it. The things of this world are not most important. Relationships are important. The relationships we have with one another, those are important. We need to build those and strengthen them. But most of all, the relationship we have with our God and with our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the most important. And all the other things don't matter, right? That's of the most important. And so often we don't put it where it needs to be. Second of all, our burdens teach us gratitude and humility. During those times we learn about gratitude and things. First, you think 1 Timothy 6 and verse 7 and 8, when it talks about with food and covering, we can be content. That's what Paul says. He said, I can be content with food and covering. Most times we don't think that way. We have to have the nicest phone and all the fancy things of society, but you know, when you go through some of your burdens, you learn how grateful you are for the things you do have. I've seen people that had lost a child at 3, 4 years old, and they'll tell you, I'm thankful at least I got those few years. Hard to deal with that, and you think about the problems they're going through. I can imagine with my own children. But the gratitude that we learn of the time that we do get, and the blessings that God has given, very important. Romans 12, verse 3, talks about not thinking too highly of ourselves. Okay, a lot of times we become prideful. We think we're important. We think we're something. We're going through the burdens. We realize we're just like anybody else. My dad once made a statement. My dad got cancer. He died in 2004, and he wasn't an old man, 57, was it? And somebody asked him, why do you think he got cancer? He's a preacher for 30-something years. And the only answer he had was, why not? He said, what makes me think I'm so special I can't get it? All these other people, like I said, children are in the hospitals, but why would I think that I'm somebody more important than anybody else? And I remember that all my life. And I've told people that because it will stick with you. If you think, I'm a human just like anybody else, it can happen to me. But when you go through those burdens, we learn humility, we learn gratitude, we learn to appreciate the little things in life that we have. We learn to realize that we're not above others. We're all in this together. We're supposed to be working and helping each other. Number three, our burdens teach us to serve and love one another. We got to serve and love one another. Yeah, some of the greatest times we're going through those burdens, when people come and do for us, we remember that, right? Are we the people who serve and love one another? Galatians 6, verse 2, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 10 of the same chapter tells us that we have opportunity to do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. Doing good for others is what life is about. And during our burdens, sometimes we realize the people who helped us, we need to be helping, and we should be doing those same things. We help each other. We comfort one another. We strengthen one another. And so we can learn and appreciate that as well. We can sympathize with others when they're going through it because maybe we went through the same kind of burdens. I've done a lot of counseling with couples and different things, and I've dealt with people who are a lot of people that are divorced. I can talk a lot about what it feels like to be divorced, but until I'm divorced, I don't know. You know who's the best person to talk about that? Is someone he knows, who's had that pain, who's had the struggles that they went through. And so, talk too much, I told you. Jesus can cleanse us from sin as well. We think about some of our burdens. Number the fourth one, I think I went too far. No biggity, you probably wrote it down. Our burdens help us to see the need for Jesus. And I think that's probably the most important. When you're going through the hardest times, we see the need for Jesus. We see that we can't do it alone. In John 14, 6, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. This life is temporary, right? And the afterlife is eternal. And so I want the afterlife. I need Jesus to get me to the afterlife. James 4 and verse 14 tells us our life is just a vapor, appears for a little while and then vanishes away. We know this how temporary it is. Older people will tell you, the years went by quick. Years go by really quick. Not to the future, Romans 6 and 23, eternal life, right? Eternal life in Christ Jesus. And so we need Jesus to help us in this life. We need him to save us so we can receive that eternity in heaven. We talk about that rest. Jesus promises that rest, and we can receive that rest in Jesus, in his blessings. Jesus can cleanse us from our sins. He can walk and with us and help us and save us ultimately to give us eternity in heaven. John 3 and verse 16, most of us know. Verse 17, though, he goes on to say, he didn't come to, you know, destroy the world. He didn't come to condemn the world, but to save it. That's the whole purpose for his coming, is to save the world, to save us, to save mankind. And he offers that. When we go through the hardships, we realize we need a Savior. We need help. And we can get that. Jesus can cleanse us from sin. He can rescue us from the life that we have here if we're willing to obey him. Hebrews 5, 8 and 9 tells us he becomes the author of eternal salvation to those who obey him. Remember John 14 and verse 15. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, Jesus says. When we are willing to do that, we can receive the gifts that God has promised. We can receive the rest that we were talking about as well. We have to be willing to do it. And just for a moment here, tell you that the gospel is always offered. Jesus always is asking us to come. Come and he will give us rest. But there's some things, remember the author of eternal salvation, those who obey him, there's some things we have to do. We have to be willing, again, to trust that he can give us that remedy. He can help us. He can give us rest. We got to trust in that. Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please him. We got to be willing to repent. Sin destroyed our culture from the beginning and still is destroying our culture, and in some of our own sins are destroying us, and we need help. And we've got to change that. Repentance is a change of the way you think. Repentance is a change of the way you live, giving up those things. I'm not saying you're going to ever be a perfect person in everything you do, but Jesus can perfect you. And we have to be willing to confess to him. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. If we're not willing to confess to him, he won't confess. Why would we not stand up for name someone who can give us the promises that we've got? The promise we just talked about, the remedy, right? Why would we not confess his name? And the Bible gives us the act of obedience. The act of obedience is required, okay, to see if we do trust his way. He tells us it washes our sins away. Acts 22 and verse 16, Paul was told, rise and be baptized, wash your sins away. Acts 2 and verse 38, repent, be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Every one of us need to repent and be baptized. Romans 6 calls it a death, a burial, resurrection. We put on Christ, we die. If you're today not been immersed, you have the opportunity to be immersed, buried with Christ, raised to walk in newness of life. And for you as Christians, some of you who maybe have done that, you may go through anxiety and troubles, but remember this. You have the question, why Jesus up there? He is the one and the only true one that can give you a remedy for the relief and the rest that comes from your burdens. He's the one that will help you. Cast your anxieties on him, for he cares for you. If there's any need, come forward, do as we stand and sing.